Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What's up, Fungal? Oh, wait, let me try this.
Oh, what's up, Fungal Associates? Ugh.
Gee,
welcome to Completely Arbitrary.
Alex.
The podcast about trees. Ugh.
Calm. Damn.
And other related topics. Ugh. I'm Alex Croson.
I'm Casey Clapp.
Casey, why am I being so wrathful today?
Because you're aggro, buddy.
Wow.
Chill. Ow.
My very convincing.
Yeah. It was very convincing. Everyone's like, God, Alex is really legitimately upset right now.
It's almost like I'm in an intense emotional state of anger, also known as rage, that's characterized by a strong, uncomfortable, or non-cooperative response to a perceived hurt. Or provocation.
Almost. Jeez, yeah. So I should ask Alex. I don't know if this is obvious. Are you feeling wrathful right now?
No, Casey. I was putting on a role.
Oh, I see. Acting.
I was acting.
Incredible. Incredible.
Thank you. Casey, what is the reason? What is my reason for acting wrathful today?
Well, if it is on theme, uh-huh. It would be that an insect has just bit you somehow.
No, Casey. Oh. It's not that at all.
Well, then I don't know.
It's because today we are continuing our seven deadly stems.
I see.
And we have chosen a tree that just by the name, just by looking at it, you know. It's wrathful.
You know, Alex, I'm so happy that you said that because I agree entirely.
Yeah.
This tree looks like when you see it, you think that it's going to come after you if you come after it.
Totally.
The good news is, rather, I shouldn't say the good news. The fun news is that it goes actually a step beyond what you see because this is another episode of Ant Talk.
Wow.
And I think this one's even just a little bit better than the last one we did, which of course was the trumpet tree, Cercopia, a fabulous species from the tropics. This one is from Mexico and a couple other species of bullhorn acacia.
I'll say
down in the tropics.
You say this one's better. It's got many tiny shoes to fill.
It sure does. Wow. Very good job.
Well, Casey, you said it. We're talking about the bullhorn acacia.
That's right, Alex. Fichelia cornigera.
Cornigera.
Yes, which is a lovely species from mostly Mexico, but it also goes a little bit further south.
Okay.
And we're talking about explicitly this species. There are a few others that go by the common name bullhorn acacia, mm-hmm. but this Fichelia cornigera is the one we're talking about.
Lovely. Casey, before we get to all that ant talk, all that bullhorn talk, did you know that this podcast is supported fully by the lovely people who listen to it?
Oh, Alex, I did know that.
Yep. And if you want to be one of those people, if you want to be a premium member of this podcast, go to arbitrarypod.supercast.com. That's ArbitrarayPod.supercast.com. If you are a premium member, here's some of the things you can look forward to. Premium.
Thank you.
Bonus audio episodes. Tremium. Just calling them Tremium doesn't make them, you know.
I think it does. Everything right. else is just normal, you know.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
normal
okay.
Cone of the Month Club versus Tremium Cone of the Month Club.
You get Tremium video episodes. We just started a new series called The Seed Pod, where we sit down with tree-related people and have lovely conversations. You get to see videos of those. Also, Casey,
mm-hmm.
the crown jewel, the Cone Club.
That's right.
Where every month we have an artist, a cool, hip, great artist.
Yeah, the kind that you wish you were, but yeah. you just are always like, they're so cool.
Like Thomas Kincaid.
exactly.
God, I wish we could get a Thomas Kincaid cone. We have them illustrate a cone, a conifer cone, a different species every month. We get them printed on stickers locally here
mm-hmm.
in Portland, Oregon with Sticker Ninja. And we ship out hundreds of cones to you with a fun little cone card that you can collect. I love seeing, Casey, I love seeing the way people have collected these.
Yeah.
They'll like put all of them on one, you know, guitar case or something.
Yeah.
Or journal. Or like I've seen people make like... somebody made like a leaf. Oh, you know how like you have leaf scrapbooks?
Yeah.
Like that with the cones?
Yep. A friend of mine puts it on his rocket box on top of his car.
Perfect. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you want monthly cone stickers and access to our entire back catalog of cone stickers, become a Tremium member at arbitrarypod.supercast.com. After the break, we'll be talking ants. We'll be talking bullhorn acacia.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me, it's a bunch of bullhorn.
Wow. Now, you're being very wrathful right now for no good reason.
Well, I can think of one good reason.
What?
This is Seven Deadly Stems on Completely Arbitrary. Casey.
Hi, Alex.
You know something about me?
I do.
And you do know this, that I love to be cozy.
Yes, that is very true. Unfortunately, I have to get you out of your bed to do work. You know, because our studio here is small.
Yeah, Casey physically drags me out of bed every morning. And you know what?
Slap a pair of headphones on.
And you know what I'm sleeping on, Casey?
What are you sleeping on today, Alex?
My brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
Oh, Alex, I heard about this.
And you know what I'm sleeping in?
What?
My brand new Cozy Earth jogger set.
Ooh, hold on. Let me get a feel of that. Not your sheet. I'm getting my own sheet.
That's right.
Ooh, this is smooth.
Casey is wrapped in his new Cozy Earth bedding. Now, Casey just returned from Italy.
Just got back.
Land of soft fabrics.
Exactly.
And he has waiting for him products from our brand new sponsor, Cozy Earth. Casey, what do you think?
This is incredible. I don't think I've ever felt something so soft and so like, I don't know. It feels silky and smooth and it looks beautiful.
It's true, Casey. And you know what? I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth clothing.
Well, Alex, have you noticed anything about your sleep?
I have been sleeping so well. And here are some things I love about sleeping in my Cozy Earth bedding and my Cozy Earth clothes.
Yeah.
This is no longer officially an ad. This is just me talking.
Hey, let everyone just come on in. Just come on in here.
Casey, it is temperature regulating, so I no longer have any problems with getting too warm, getting too cool, having to get up and shut the window, having to get up and open the window, turn the heat on, turn the heat off. I sleep through the night. Soon I'll be eating solid foods, and I have such a good time doing it. Casey, I know you've been traveling, you've been flying, you've been not sleeping in your own bed. I cannot tell you how excited I am for you to try this brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
I cannot tell you how much I agree. Just feeling it, I'm essentially swaddled in a sheet right now, Alex.
That's right,
and
you are.
I cannot tell you how excited. I'm going to wash this. I'm going to throw it on my bed today.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to be as cozy as Alex and I, then go to CozyEarth.com and after your purchase, enter the promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, to get 35% off. That's huge.
And Casey, how about this? All of Cozy Earth's products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. I don't have that kind of warranty on my tires.
I don't have that kind of warranty on anything.
So go to CozyEarth.com and use promo code TREES for 35% off. Now go and get cozy.
Yeah, you go get cozy now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-bloomin'. Those people are a-walkin' around. That sun is a-shinin'. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee, ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring! Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking the Bullhorn Acacia. Casey.
Alex.
Now, this is our wrath.
This sure is.
And episode.
God, I'm so just, this has to be, this. I feel proud of this one also. I feel proud of all these ones.
You love all your children.
Yeah, these are good children.
Uh-huh.
These children especially. Horrifically good at being wrathful.
Oh.
Yeah, like it's pretty violent, actually.
That's exciting. Have you heard the specific regional British pronunciation of wrath as wrath?
No, I haven't.
And it's not like that easy, like switching an a to a ah.
No.
In British, it's like...
Do they spell it differently?
No, they just... It's like a...
Can and calm.
Scone. Have you heard like scone?
No.
Oh, I think it's one of those things.
I don't like it.
Yeah, who? No. What's to like?
Anyway, I'm against it.
Casey, let's imagine that you and I, hey, can we be in Mexico?
Yes, yeah.
Cool.
In fact, that's a really good place to be.
Well, I listened to you.
Well, I heard what you said and I reacted to it.
Let's imagine that you and I are walking through, I kind of want to be in Mexico City.
Oh, all right, yeah, that's fair. That works.
Maybe an arboretum in Mexico City. And we come across some bullhorn acacia. Casey, let's ID this tree.
All right, so this tree stands out from afar.
Wow.
It is a deciduous acacia tree. Now, I say acacia, though that is officially just the common name. It is Vachellia, which used to be in the genus Acacia, but they split those off. And as you're walking through, and it's let's say it's in the drier part of the season, you're going to see a tree that looks like it is covered from head to toe in spikes.
I said that we were walking through Mexico City.
Yeah.
De Efe. But no city forester in their right mind would plant these trees on a sidewalk.
No one ever.
It's like handing out free swords.
No, but that's it is. Yeah, it's a little bit like a baseball bat with nails and spikes sent through.
Yes,
you know. But that's okay. You don't need to be walking on the streets and have this be planted. Uh-huh. It will find its way to grow in like a dry kind of vacant lot kind of thing.
Mm, okay.
But you'll also see it kind of in the highlands and anywhere that is kind of the dry, very classic Southwest Mexico kind of acacia habitat where it's very dry with these spiky things, and I would say probably you'll find it more in the rural areas or more natural areas outside of like the big city, because of Mexico City's like metropolitan AF. When you first walk up to it, you'll be like, wow, oh my god, that tree is completely covered in spikes, and that is because it, of course, is named after these giant stipular spines that cover the tree. Stipular spines are these tiny, mostly, historically, for other trees, they're these tiny little thorns or spines that are essentially modified stipules, which are little bits of leaf right at the base of the petiole.
Hmm.
So these will come out in pairs, and these have been modified to be big and quite thick. They are vicious looking.
They look like the size of a banana.
Yeah, I think I don't think they can quite get that size, but especially like it's kind of funny because the tree itself only maybe gets to 30 feet tall.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
It's not a giant tree. So in comparison, when you look at a picture that doesn't really put anything in perspective, and there's no leaves on it, they look huge.
Yeah,
like, they really do look like banana size. That's completely accurate.
And I will say when I was picturing bullhorn, mm-hmm. I was like, that's probably has to do with the spikes. And I imagine sort of a curved, you know, bull's horn as I know them.
Uh-huh.
But this is like, what is that? Texas longhorn?
Yes. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like that species that has it has like a unibrow of horn.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's like they come up and then out.
Or it's like connected in the middle of their head.
Yeah,
it's all
exactly.
One, like one piece.
Yes.
They look just like that.
They do. But Alex, did you know that they can also be way different? This was actually kind of something that blew my mind. I was reading through a paper that did a huge big study on it, and he had some pretty spectacular photos. They can actually curl around the stem and look kind of like what was that Disney movie with the evil witch lady?
Oh, Maleficent. Yeah.
It looks like her
headpiece.
Horns.
Yeah.
And then there are other ones that look like perfect V's.
Wow.
And then others that look exactly like the horns you're talking about.
Yeah,
like
wow.
The Texas longhorns.
Oh, that's cool.
They're crazy.
Great botanical diversity.
Yeah, exactly. Well said, Alex.
I rolled my eyes at myself.
I know, which is why I laughed. So it's a so that's the first thing, of course, you're going to see. Like I said, it's kind of a medium-sized tree, maybe gets to 30 feet, a little bit taller if you really let it go. It's got some normal-ass gray bark, brownish bark. Don't even worry about it. You don't care.
I don't know, Casey.
What?
I think the bark is kind of interesting.
You do?
Well, it's like sort of like copper-colored from a few of these I'm seeing.
All right, I guess that's fair.
That's kind of cool.
You just kind of look normal to me, I guess.
You know that copper bark I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Or like
yeah.
Brass, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where it kind of just has this like shiny, like it's not really shiny. It's kind of a hard description.
Yeah,
but
it's
yeah.
Like, it's almost like glossy-ish.
Yeah, it's not matte. Let's say that.
It's like roast beef when it's like, it's kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Like a trout's belly.
It's like, it looks just like a trout's belly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I really appreciate your descriptive prowess. I just want you to know that.
But
well, I always thought it was pretty normal.
I will say, like, in comparison to the rest of the tree.
Okay, yeah. Maybe that's the thing. I'm just, like, blown away by the rest of it.
Right.
This is what I think of.
Let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, so mostly the good stuff is those sweet-ass horns, you
amazing.
Know?
Amazing.
I mean, this is one who listens to metal and throwing up the horns all
oh,
the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is my tree.
Never seen you do that.
Yeah, I don't do it often. I do it mostly ironically.
Sure, sure.
Whenever I see something crazy happen, I'm like, oh, yeah. Metal. That's sick.
So Casey, I'm noticing one thing about these horns.
Uh-huh.
They've got a hole.
They do, Alex.
And I'm assuming that is like a portal for the ants.
It is. It's a portal. It is a portal for the ants to get inside of this.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it a little bit in more depth, but ants, specifically what we call the acacia ant, which is funny, and I have to think about it all the time, because when you're referring to the ant, it's an acacia-ant. When you're referring to the tree, it's an ant-acacia.
Wow.
Which is, you know, annoying to say the least.
I think it's quite fun.
You do?
Language is so interesting.
I think it is, yes, but it also is just like, ugh. Could you guys not have come up with just like something else? Each individual horn has a little tiny hole in it, as you noted, and that is created by a founding mother, essentially, a founding queen for an ant colony.
Oh my gosh.
So she would fly in from another colony. She would land on this tree and either find a hole that's already been dug that doesn't have anything in it, or she would etch it out herself. And they bite through with their very hard pinchers. They go inside, and then there's kind of this pith that's inside that's not very intense, and they can just kind of clean that out, hollows it out, and then you now have a demesia, which is a little house for all of your ant family.
A little hobbit hole.
Exactly.
How lovely.
So she lays a couple eggs, and then those eggs become sterile workers, as all ants do. These are all sisters, and they are all completely sterile. They're just these drones. All they do is just go and work. What happens?
I'm imagining like a, I guess, a monastery with nuns.
Oh, you know? Imagine that, but like if all the nuns just were like machines, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Like a cool horror movie.
Yeah, like I think Suspiria. It would be. Yeah, yeah. So what they do is they live inside these little teeny tiny holes inside these fairly large bullhorn stipule thorn spines.
Cool.
Now, what they do on the rest of the plant and how they interact with it is quite interesting. You'll note that we haven't talked very much about the leaves here.
Yes.
Well, the leaves of this tree have a couple different, very specific, interesting parts that betray their relationship with these ant species.
Oh my God.
So they are alternately arranged in bipinnately compound leaves.
I love the leaves.
I thought you would, Alex. I truly did. I'm so happy to hear that.
Bipinnate compound is goat.
Yeah. And these are fantastic.
Yeah, they're good ones.
They have 3 to 14 pinnae, which is individual kind of the first order leaflets, and each one of those has 15 to 40 pairs of opposite leaflets on it. So that's beautiful. The bipinnate, right?
Sure. It's a leaf made of leaves.
Exactly. Made of leaves.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
A leaf made of leaves, made of leaves.
Precisely. I love it. And they end up getting a pretty good size, these leaves, but each individual minute leaflet is teeny tiny, like maybe a couple millimeters across and maybe a centimeter or so long.
Wow.
And at the base of the petiole of the whole leaf, there are between 1 and 8 what's called extrafoliar nectararies.
Oh my God.
Have you heard about this before?
No.
Well, I might have brought it up. I think I used the same term, but I might have not. Whenever we talk about the cherries, because cherries also have a very similar little gland right on their petiole.
Yeah.
So this is essentially the same thing.
It's well, say the word again, extrafoliar
nectarary.
Okay, well, I can surmise what it is.
Okay.
Little sweet sac growing off on the outside.
That's exactly right. It's just kind of this little gland that just puts out a little tiny bit of sweet sap, sweet nectar kind of stuff.
I bet I know who's eating that.
Yeah, you know exactly who's eating that.
Interesting.
But Alex, have you ever had nothing but sugar and realized that your body is betraying itself?
Yes, Casey.
Exactly, Alex. We've all been there. So what, of course, you're going to need to survive is a little bit of protein, a little bit of fat. You need all those extra things that help actually build your body and give you strength. Build a nice, tough, strong kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in order to get that little bit of protein, at the very tip of each one of those little teeny tiny leaflets is a small cylindrical growth.
Wow.
It's orange in color. And it's maybe a millimeter or so long. Like, it's very tiny. But compared to an ant, It's just the right size. And these are what's called Belshin bodies.
Oh my gosh.
Now, you may recall when we talked about the Cercopia, the trumpet tree, they had what's called Mullerian bodies. Do you remember this at all? This is a while ago now.
Yeah, not really.
Well, Mullerian bodies, Alex, are the same kind of little growths. They're these little like protein, lipid, fat-filled little deposits that on the Cercopia would come from the base of the leaf. So essentially at the very base of the petiole, these little things would kind of just exude out from these glands. And those were Mullerian bodies.
Wow.
Now, a Belshin body is the same kind of thing, but it comes out at the very tip of the leaves.
Okay.
Both of them are delicious to ants.
Okay. This is they balance the sugar that the ant is getting.
Precisely.
Wow.
They are what creates the other side of that complete meal. That is 100% all of these things provided by the tree, and it's 100% of the diet of these ants.
That's incredible.
Yes. So that is what our tree looks like.
Can we talk about the flower?
Oh gosh, yes we can. Honestly, I forgot about the flowers. Like everything just completely is so much cooler, like the leaves and the thorns. I forget about the flowers, Alex.
I don't know, Casey. These flowers are...
They are.
Crazy.
I'm so happy you brought it up because I forget about them, but they are also kind of weird and unique. They look like, what is it? A sugared or gumdrop? Do you remember that candy, like a gumdrop?
Sure.
It's kind of like a small little cone that doesn't have a tip on it. They look just like those if they were like pulled out a little bit. Like I can't figure out a good descriptor for the shape of the flowers, but they're like these really tight and yellow compact little inflorescence that are like long cones. Like they almost look like a lollipop or like a ice cream pop.
Corn
like I don't
dog.
Know.
I mean, I see like a small purple zucchini.
Okay.
Like dipped in corn dog batter.
All right. Yeah, that works. That's great. Yeah, that sounds perfect.
And then rolled in like, you know, yellow dots.
Yeah, they're really strange. And they're just like very tightly packed little flowers. So these little guys come out and they will turn into these like snow pea, sugar snap pea sized and shaped pea pods, which are the classic pea pods, because this is, as an acacia, as a vicelia, it's in the pea family.
Fabaceae.
Well done.
My favorite family.
Yeah, so that's what those little guys look like.
Cool.
So they're fascinating little trees. And again, there are a bunch of vicelia and acacia. And so this is just one species of a few that look kind of very similar to this. They're all very closely related. But like I said, we're talking specifically about our bullhorn acacia.
I do want to say one thing about these horns.
Yeah.
I I did a little bit of research.
Uh-huh.
And I can't find anything supporting this.
Oh.
So maybe if somebody knows... For real, please reach out. But I look at these and I'm like, man, I betcha the indigenous people of the area where these grow broke off that horn and used it as like some sort of flute-like instrument.
Ooh.
Or carved it because it has a natural hole in it, which you need for a flute.
That is a very interesting idea.
It's probably not true, but I betcha. I don't know. I bet you there's nothing, not nothing to it.
Well, there is certainly not nothing to it. There is another species that's actually from Africa that's called Vicelia drepanolobium.
Wow.
And that is called the whistling thorn.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Because they use the thorns for flutes?
Well, it's actually not that they do, any of the peoples in the area. It's actually that just because there's so many holes in it, they're another Vicelia species, of course, and they, instead of having big, long, thick bull horns the way ours does, it actually just has a very big swollen base, so it kind of looks like a gourd with a sharp point coming out of it. But they aren't gigantic, but they're big enough that the ants would actually do the same thing, drill holes in, clean out that hollow space, live inside that little swollen base of the thorn. But as the wind goes by, the wind hits all those holes and ends up making the whole thing sound like a whistle. So you're not far off. I think there's at least reasonable evidence to support that whistling can take place.
if I were not a person of the internet age and I heard that out on the plains, I would think it was like a screaming ghost.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it would freak you out until you find it. Then you're like, wow, this tree makes sounds. But then you look closer and you think, I want to help that tree make sound. You touch any single part of the tree and the tree gives you its wrath. Because, Alex, this is why we're talking about wrath and the bullhorn acacia.
Amazing.
And this is why I think that your theory is not far off, but probably not correct. Because in order for anything, humans included, to get that thorn off of that tree in order to do anything with it, whistle or just step on or throw away or get really mad at, you have to fight the wrath, which are these little teeny tiny ants known as Pseudomyrmex ferruginea.
Wow.
These are, again, acacia ants, and there's a bunch of different species that are all kind of underneath the same umbrella as acacia ant, but in the genus Pseudomyrmex.
So you look at this thing and you're like, I can clearly see the weapon. It's those giant horns.
Exactly.
But the real weapon.
Are
the little swarm of ants.
Exactly. So these ants and other species of tree, which, if you don't remember, they're called myrmecophytes, which myrmecophyte is specifically a tree or a plant that is in some way relating in a symbiotic fashion to ants. So one of the big things that that I found with this is that a lot of people have said, well, is this just... The ants have found a nice place and they're just taking advantage of these big thorns and they're having a good time. Maybe. So some people did some research on this. And this was one of those things where when you look at it, you kind of like make the assumption. But then whenever you make an assumption about kind of the intentions of an animal or a plant, that's when scientists are kind of like, ooh, it's a little bit dubious. We can observe that it's happening. But can we say for sure that the ants are protecting the tree or something like that? So they ended up doing a bunch of research, and there's this big long paper that basically said, yes, we are showing emphatically that this is in fact the case. This is not just a situation where an ant species happened to find a nice thing that worked really well for them and the tree just survives and lives like that.
Right.
This is a case where the symbiotic relationship goes both ways, where we already talked about the fact that the plant provides all the nutrition for the ants from start to finish with these lipid and protein-filled little Belchin bodies to the extra floral nectaries that produce all this delicious sap, essentially sugar water for the ants.
Well, the sentence you just said was like a 17th century sext.
I love your extra floral nectaries
and your lipid-filled Belchin body.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jonathan.
Till next we meet.
3 months later when the post finally gets there. Well, so everyone was like, okay, well, can we see this? Maybe that's just convenience, you know? Maybe those were already growing there, and then the ants just, you know, happened to find them.
Sure.
Well, it turns out...
As if the tree devolved that way and then the ant found
it. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Or, you know, some other unique situation where you just find these two things that happened to work very well together.
Sure.
So they ended up showing that the tree is protected and the ants, like, as maniacs, will go after anything that touches it.
Wow.
And I mean touches it. And it kind of blows your mind if it is a cow. It comes over there and starts eating a little bit of the delicious leaves. Because I should note, the leaves are deficient in bitter alkaloids, which is something you'd usually find in these species of acacia and vicelia, that essentially make it very bitter and distasteful to animals. It's a way that the plant will keep any of the herbaceous animals around from eating. So this species basically didn't do that. So instead of putting in their defenses in their actual leaves, they just contracted with these ants.
Wow.
And they said, hey, great, we're going to actually just create these other Belchian bodies, these other things entirely, Our leaves are going to taste delicious. But if we give you these things and we let you live in our house, you're going to protect it. And the ants just absolutely went ham.
It's their mercenary army.
Exactly. So you touch it. The ants will immediately know they are patrolling night and day.
Wow. Like
up to, I think it was either a quarter or a half of the colony is out at all times.
Just patrolling, looking for trouble.
Just watching. If there's a sucking insect that lands on one of the leaves, you're dead.
How?
I shouldn't say dead. I think they just get bit a lot.
Sure.
They might survive.
Until they die. What's the response time?
I think it's immediate.
Okay.
And not only is it immediate, but it's like a swarm because ants are famous for giving out pheromones mm-hmm. that then call in other ants or other ants smell, and then they immediately go rush in to That's help right. out their buddies.
Wow, yeah.
So
oh my gosh.
It's a situation where their wrath of the plant is such that if you touch it and one ant sees and smells and finds that there is another insect, a caterpillar of an insect, mm-hmm. A large mammal, a small mammal, another vine, any other plants that happen to get close.
A person.
Literally anything. Mm-hmm. The ants will just go ham and just bite and sting you. One entomologist that I read about said his hand got bit a few times and it swelled up for a couple hours.
Wow.
Yes. So these aren't ants that are just like, I'm just going to get you. These are ants that are like, they pack a punch.
That's amazing.
It's a legitimate wrath of this tree where it doesn't want to be touched. It doesn't want to be looked at. It uh-huh. doesn't want to be even thought about because as soon as you do, ants are going to, ow, ow. I just got bit, Alex. Just thinking about this tree. It came all the way over here.
I am starting to feel a little itchy. You know, I will say, like, maybe this should be said in my review, but don't you think it's a little bit of a hat on a hat?
Oh, you mean with the acacia?
Yeah, it's like you already have this threatening appearance.
Yeah.
Do you really need an army of ants at your disposal?
I think that is a very fair question. And honestly, I think yes. If it was just the bull horns, uh-huh. if it was just the stipular spines,
yeah.
then I would say, well, this is a well armed tree. This sure. is a tree that is basically saying, don't get close. If you do, I'm going to poke you. Or if you're good enough, you can get by my defenses and I'm just going to shrug it off.
It does go a step further.
Exactly. Yeah. It goes one step further. And that is why it's a wrathful tree mm-hmm. because it actually responds in kind and bites you.
Wow.
So you feel the wrath of this tree. But it's also unique in that it protects it from two different things. It protects it from really big stuff, like that the ants really wouldn't do that much about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, if you're a cow or you're like a goat or something, goats don't care about right. literally anything.
An ant could bite their eyeball and they would yeah. just and they would be like, blink.
Yeah, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I think that in many occasions, the tree has to be protected from bigger, like really tough animals. Okay. Which is the thorns. But then, if that happens, you will feel the wrath of the tree, meaning that you're still going to get bit, and it's still going to be upsetting, and you'll probably not do that again.
Sure. You can't just fight the sieging army with catapults.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to send out soldiers.
You got to send out other stuff. So men
on the ground.
I think this tree kind of, I think it takes it to the next level, and I think that's like... I think it is a hat on a hat, but I think it's a hat on a hat for particular reasons. Yeah. One hat is for audience A, the other hat is for audience B.
Sure, yeah, makes sense. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, you know what else is amazing about this this plant? It's kind of a sidestep.
Hmm.
There's actually an eight-legged creature that also depends on this tree.
Is it a spider?
It is a spider.
Wow.
I learned about a jumping spider.
Oh, no.
That, and I say jumping spider, it's just kind of, they do jump, but they're also like just these teeny tiny, very smart, like wide-eyed, very good hunters.
Hmm.
This...
As if that makes...
Hey, calm down.
But
this
they're
is
also
just one of the most
alpha
intelligent...
predators, so...
Yeah, it's true. What I love about this ant, though, or about specifically jumping spiders... What I love about these jumping spiders, actually, mm-hmm. is that they are like mind-blowingly intelligent.
Mm.
There's David Attenborough special, I think it's on Life, where he talks about this one species that actually hunts other spiders, and like it knows how to hunt and changes its tactics per the spider that it's hunting.
Wow.
Incredible. But like
that's like some human level shit.
Oh my god, like it is in the show David Attenborough's like, and this spider is a genius.
Seriously.
Like, it's insane.
I know intelligence is relative, but like that's fucking smart.
It gets up to a level that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
Now
yes. This, like pigs and octopus.
Yeah, right? It's exactly right. Like you know that spider could solve an equation. It just doesn't care to.
I would rather go hunting.
But so the thing is, this species of spider is called Bagheera kiplingi.
Hey, you know, if you really want to make tracks, you put that pig and the spider together.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a Charlotte's Web situation.
You do. Yeah, this is Charlotte's Web situation that they're going to end up like basically solving a discourse on human like happiness or something.
Sorry, that was not worth interrupting you.
I think it was. So anyway, this spider, again, it's Bagheera kiplingi.
Okay.
Is a vegetarian.
No kidding.
One of, if not the only known examples, certainly back when this came out, this article that I read was, I think, in like 2016. Uh-huh. So it might have been, there might be others that people have found. But it's a teeny tiny little spider. It's probably just about the same size as the ants and avoids the ants like the plague.
Of course.
Because you have to.
Yeah.
And it's also like, it would get completely killed. It's about the same size. So an ant would just look at it and then just like throw its life completely there.
Yeah.
So the spider is not really doing a whole lot. So these spiders are very good with eyesight. Like I have seen some jumping spiders just here in town because we have a bunch that are native to our area. And you put your finger in front of them and you move your finger and they'll just watch your finger and they'll rotate their body. Like they have great eyesight as like hunters.
Wow.
So these species will walk around, they will avoid all the ants, and they eat the Belchian bodies, and they eat the nectar.
Incredible.
And every now and then, you'll find it crawling in and stealing a larva or something like that.
Wow.
But it doesn't really do it. The majority of its diet are plants, and not by accident, that's what it chooses to do.
Amazing, Casey.
So it's wild. They call it a quote vegetarian spider. Up to 91% of its diet is Belchian bodies.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
This is truly an interesting tree.
It really is. It has a spider that lives on it that is kind of like living in the attic and like avoiding the actual like troops that are completely covering the tree.
Uh-huh.
Live in it and cover it night and day like a castle.
Totally.
And then apparently sometimes there are wasps, which I have not figured out why the wasp nest, it's on a closely related tree, but with the same ants and does the same thing.
Mm.
The wasp nest does not get eaten by the ants. And I don't know why.
Is it because wasps will fuck you up if you come near them?
I don't know. I could not find a good reason as to why that's the case. But
although, I mean, 30,000 ants could easily take down a wasp.
Yeah,
wasp
you would think
nest.
So. You would think so. Apparently, again, to add in a whole new thing, army ants, which are the big, scary, famous ones that like travel in droves of millions across the forest and just like completely take out everything in their path. It's a horrifying idea. Huh. I love watching documentaries on it, though. I have to say, I'm a big fan of ants. I really am.
Okay.
Apparently, army ants would just go in and completely raid these wasp nests.
Wow.
Which makes me wonder if the army ants also go raid everything on this tree if they come across one.
Yeah.
Which means, like, when you think about the politics of what's going on, like, it's crazy. And wasps and ants are very closely related. They're all in the same family. Same order, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, if you look at them, they look exactly the same, except for wasps have wings.
Sure. I can totally see it. Yeah.
So wow. I love the idea of, like, a spider, like a jumping spider being like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And seeing an army ant invade and destroy a wasp nest while the resident battalion of ants also gets overrun because the army ants are literally like the Khans. What am I thinking? The Mongols. They're unstoppable.
Yeah.
And then everyone goes away and there's just this ant being like, or the spider who's like,
covering its mouth.
Is everything okay? Yeah, exactly. Just hiding underneath the bed, hoping it doesn't get found.
A couple of times we've told stories, and I've been like, oh my gosh, if there are any like fiction writers out there looking for inspiration,
oh yeah,
this is like the next Game of Thrones, the next hot fantasy series,
easily
needs to look at ant behavior.
Yes, all ants, all behavior, just like that. And you know what? The next time they make a movie called Ants, we need to like expand our geographical understanding of our ants.
Yes.
Because there are some ants that just do the most wild things I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah, both ants and Bug's Life are both focused on like a very kind of basic worker ant type.
Yeah, exactly.
Hierarchy.
Yeah, they don't have like big stings, and honestly, they're a little bit like beta, I guess.
Yeah,
is the only way
they're
to
disposable.
Put
they're like red shirts in Star Trek.
Yeah, they get destroyed by grasshoppers. Could you imagine grasshoppers on a bullhorn acacia?
Oh,
yeah,
get fucked up. You'd well, the whole lesson of that movie is that. You know, in the end, they realize that together they are miles stronger than grasshoppers.
So really, A Bug's Life is just like it's an allegory about the evolution of ants learning how powerful they are.
Yes.
God, beautiful.
Which ants would know anyway, because they're evolved that way.
Yeah, it's true.
Casey.
Yeah.
That was our discussion of the bullhorn acacia, an incredible tree, an incredible ant, an incredible life we live. It's time to give our review. But we got to do so after a break. We'll be right back with our wrathful thoughts on the bull acacia here on Completely Arbitrary. 7 Deadly Stems.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. That was our discussion of the bullhorn acacia and the acacia ant. The ant acacia and the acacia ant.
Isn't that fun?
I love it.
It's great.
Casey, let's give our review of this tree. Here's how it works. We're going to get some final thoughts, then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. As our resident expert, we'll begin with you.
Thank you, Alex.
The word expert got kind of caught in my mouth there.
Yeah, well,
I hope that's not a bad omen.
I don't think it is. I think sometimes it's okay for you to look at me and question if I am in fact an expert. So thank you.
I do see you, you know, like on your game at times, like around other people talking about trees.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or like I've
yeah.
seen you like give a present, not maybe not give a presentation, but like talk at length very seriously about trees.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, whoa, that's Casey. That's my friend, Casey.
Oh,
that's so strange.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's cool.
Thanks, Alex. That's really sweet of you.
I imagine it's the same as when you come see me play live.
And, oh, yeah. You know. I have no idea how you memorize what to do with your fingers every day.
Oh, my gosh.
And then make it up. You just, like a couple weeks ago, you played the Olympic theme song on guitar without making a single mistake and knowing exactly which buttons to press. And normally you do it on a completely different instrument.
Simple ear training.
I hate that. It's just impossible to do. By hate, I mean, I'm very envious of it, but that's a sin for
that's a different
day.
Episode.
So the bullhorn acacia, I think that this is probably one of the cooler trees out there.
Yeah.
I personally love that it has these giant thorns on it. Stipular spines, we know. I also love that it has made this cooperative, symbiotic relationship with ants. I think ants are the coolest. I think they are scary. I think they're fun. I also think that they are just like wildly more intelligent in a way that's like unfathomable to humans. Like they are a hive mind kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where like we have our individual brain with all of its individual cells. Ants, I think, represent those individual cells. It's
wow.
They're crazy.
Interesting.
Like I think they're fascinating.
Ants are a big inspiration for like sci-fi alien cultures.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In so many sci-fi books, the invading alien cultures is like a hive mind of, you know, super intelligent small creatures, you know? Like
yeah.
Swarm.
It's crazy. Yeah. I think it's accurate. I think that is a very fair idea. It's obviously quite successful.
It's scary.
So the fact that there's this kind of relationship, I think it blows the Cercopia out of the water. Like, okay, maybe not out of the water, but it certainly like really shakes it up a bit because the other one, yeah, they live in it, they do that, but it's not quite as specialized, I think, as this, in my opinion. It is specialized, but I think this goes just like a step further. And also, I don't know for sure, but I feel like I just get the sense that these ants are a little bit more fanatical. I don't know, though.
Hey, I get that.
So,
cult-like.
Exactly. Yeah, a little cult-like and a little like, I just don't know. I think they love their job a little too much.
They're holy warriors for this tree.
They really are. That's a great description. So, I think one thing, though, I don't really like about this tree is it doesn't really have a grand kind of stature to it. It kind of grows up. It kind of looks a little twiggy, and then it dies pretty quickly and grows back. I personally think that this tree would really be something if it got, like, 200 feet tall and 50 feet wide and was covered head to toe in ants. That's the future I want to see.
Well, yeah.
Like, that would be incredible. Like, like different zones that you don't go because you're not of that colony. You know what I mean?
You got to start small with some grassroots campaigns. If this is the future you want,
yeah,
Casey.
That's true. Let the ants live. So I think I'm going to give this tree right down the middle a 7.7.
Okay.
Because I love that it is just a violent tree to some extent. But also a part of me is like, hey, you know what? Take it easy. Life's not that hard.
Yeah. It's maybe overcompensating just
a
touch.
So. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you should share your leaves.
I get that, Casey. 7.7?
7.7 out of 10 golden cones of honor
for
the beholden occasion.
I was thinking like, you know, a cow, like let the cow have some leaves. You've got like hundreds of thousands of them.
Yeah.
Just like,
just be cool.
Yeah. You don't have to, it's a little like you need to go to therapy. Maybe try BetterHelp, Bullhorn Acacia.
Yeah. Who hurt you?
Yes, who hurt you, Bullhorn Acacia? Like, this is fear aggression. Like, you must have some trauma that's been not dealt with. So you're lashing out at the people closest to you, like
exactly.
This poor cow.
Yeah, you totally get it.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that you just called a cow a person.
Yeah. Well, to me. All right, Case. Bull acacia.
Bullhorn acacia, Alex.
Oh, excuse me. The bullhorn acacia.
Yeah, what do you think of it?
Bullhorn acacia.
Mm-hmm. Big thorns. And
sing the bullhorn acacia.
Oh, yeah.
Is Red this, Hot Chili Peppers.
It is. Okay. Honestly, I couldn't place it, and I was like, oh, yeah, Coldplay. Sure.
It's like the Coldplay of California. Wow, that is really apt, actually.
Wow.
This is
the hottest take we've ever had on this show.
Coldplay is just the London version of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I'm not going to comment.
Okay, here is my review of the Bullhorn Acacia. Does it have... I'll do it like this, Case.
Yeah.
There are some things I love about trees.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of like hallmarks of what makes a tree... special in the book.
Yeah.
One of them is bipinnately compound leaves.
That's very true. You do like those. Yeah.
So this already is like, whoo, nice.
Yeah.
Another is fruit. This tree does not...
It does not have fruit.
Deliver on that promise.
Yeah, you can eat it, though. Some of them are taken and sold around in markets down there, so they are edible.
Okay, fine. Another is... I love a tree that fights back.
You do. That's very true. It's one of my favorite things about you.
And this tree, holy shit, does it fight back.
Yeah.
I mean, it fights back to the point where it needs to hire bodyguards to give that little extra fight.
Yeah.
It's like mob protected.
It really is, in a literal sense.
Yes. I also love a tree that has a close relationship with an animal.
Mm.
I just think that's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Even trees like this that are like vicious.
Yeah.
It's like,
your
I don't
relationship
know.
Is toxic, but.
Right. You guys have been together for 10 years. That's an accomplishment.
You guys do have love.
So this tree has a lot going for it for me. The only thing it's really missing is stature and fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I won't take too many cones away for that.
I think it's fair.
But I gotta give this bad boy, I do mean bad boy, bad to the bone, 9.0.
Wow!
Golden cones.
9.0 golden cones of honor.
It is true.
Outstanding.
A great tree, Casey, and a great story.
Oh my God.
I would go as far as to say a great episode.
Shucks.
There's still time to fuck it up.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Casey, that was our discussion and our review.
Yeah. Hey, are you well situated now?
I am now well situated. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is time for a game. In fact, a very stemful game.
Oh.
Casey, this is my confession. Here's how it works.
What is your sin, my son?
You.
What is your stem, my son?
You are the world's first treest.
And
people come to you with their confessions. I am going to play the stemmers. I'm going to come to you with my stems.
This sounds like a video game.
And you are going to...
All right, so what you have to do is you have to fight off all the stemmers, okay? They're going to be coming at you with everything they got.
Use God's holy power to smite them.
It's just mushrooms.
I will come to you with my stems.
Okay.
And you will prescribe how I can make it up to, you know,
your tree your God. Say seven graces, Hail Marys.
Yes.
I'm not Catholic.
Yeah, none of us know what we're talking about.
Okay, great. Cool.
you're gonna prescribe diagnose me.
Yeah, I'll diagnose you and then I will prescribe a remedy based on your sin.
Yes. Exactly.
Stems.
Okay, Casey.
All right, Alex.
The confession booth is open. It doubles as a kissing booth, ironically.
Yeah, it just depends on the hour, honestly.
But it's still the priest.
Oh God. We can't make any more jokes like that, Alex. Okay. That's gonna take us down the wrong path.
All right. Here.
Come in, my child.
Forgive me, Father, for I have stemmed.
I know. Tell me your stem.
So my neighbor has this tree.
All right.
In their backyard.
I am a treest. I'm familiar.
And I don't really know what kind of tree it is, but it was growing into my yard. I kept asking them to prune it back. Because I wanted to put a trampoline there for my kids in that corner where the tree is.
Okay.
And I was getting needles and cones and shit all over my trampoline.
Interesting.
So they wouldn't do anything about it. So I took God's justice into my own hands and I poisoned the tree.
You poisoned the tree to death.
And now the tree is dead.
The tree is dead.
Yes, Father.
Do you feel bad?
I feel bad that he caught me doing it, but I don't really feel bad that I did it.
Ah, all right. Well,
but the tree is dead.
The first, I understand this.
And I'm now getting even more needles and cones and shit.
Because now they're dead.
And so they're just falling off. Yeah.
On the tree. All right. Well, the first thing is you're going to have to plant several trees in repentance.
Okay. In my neighbor's yard?
In your yard and your neighbor's yard.
Oh, my God.
And probably your other neighbor's yard, too, because what you've done, Alex, I assume your name is Alex. I didn't ask, but they put a register. Jeremy?
Jeremy.
Sorry, Jeremy.
It's okay.
See, what you did, is you didn't only affect your neighbor's tree and your yard, but you also affected all the other yards around. Everyone else who didn't have a trampoline, they had maybe a shaded plant. Mm. Their house was shaded. Their seat was shaded. Some nice space. They could look out and they could see this beautiful tree, this beautiful green tree that's now brown, dead.
Yeah.
And now it's also dangerous because now some of these branches are going to fall.
Oh, shit.
And I have to ask, do you have other corners that you could put your trampoline for your kids?
I do.
Do your kids even really want a trampoline?
Yes, it's all they talk about.
Is it going to be good for them, or is it going to be...
Of course.
Is it going to be good for them?
It's good exercise. It gets them off my back.
All right, all
right.
So
I can go drinking with my friends.
Well, first thing is, pay attention to your kids more.
Oh, okay.
Second thing, you're going to need to pay to get that tree removed. You also should apologize profusely if they caught you. There's no way around it.
Okay.
Finally, you're going to need to replant trees because if you don't do any of these things, they're going to sue you. And if they sue you, they can get 3 times the value of that tree.
Really?
Treble damages in timber states like Washington and
Oregon. Treble damages?
Yeah. So what you've done is actually 3 times worse than what you think you've done.
What is this, a screamo band's lead singer?
It's exact. Yes. It's thrice as bad. Ooh.
Oh, I was thinking treble as in their voice damages.
Oh yeah. All
but
right.
Also.
Anyway.
Well, how much is it going to cost to get it removed? Well, do I have to pay for that?
You probably will, unfortunately, my son. I shouldn't say unfortunately. You did this. You earned this.
I know, Father.
This is your repentance.
Okay.
Trampolines are stupid.
How much does it cost?
Probably thousands of dollars, my son.
Thousands?
Mm-hmm. Depending on the size of the tree, which if it was big enough to cause you some kind of trouble...
Okay.
Plant trees, water them. The green earth needs you now more than ever.
Thank you, Father.
For you are a stemmer.
Can I go now?
You may.
Thank you, Father.
All right, okay, all right. Get out of here. Get out of the booth. Get out of the booth.
Wrong booth.
All right. Next stemmer, come on in. Yes, enter the booth. Mm-hmm.
Forgive me, Father, for I have stemmed.
Uh-huh. Tell me your stem.
So, I know this is going to sound a lot like the last guy,
uh-huh.
But it is different.
Okay.
I saw this truck drive by.
Mm-hmm.
That had a bunch of yard equipment on it, mm-hmm. And it said thinning on the side of the truck.
My God.
And I have a tree in my... you know, next to my driveway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's really big and thick and full and thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, hey, maybe I'll try that.
Mm. So thinning, you mean? You're going to thin your tree.
Yes. So I talked to the guys. Mm-hmm. They said it would cost about $6,000. It's a big tree.
Okay.
And I had them do it. And then the next windstorm, the tree... fell over.
I know.
Crashed into my neighbor's house,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And unfortunately killed their cat.
Ah, the cat. It's always the cat, isn't it?
Thank you for
being honest.
You're welcome.
Now, what you've learned here is clearly that thinning your tree is actually worse for its long-term health and stability. Now, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people would think that the good book says thin out your tree so that air goes through the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, air should go around the tree.
Oh.
The tree uses every branch, every limb that it has to dampen all of the different forces of wind that come around it. It's one unit. It works together.
That's interesting.
However, what you've done is you've split its unit into many small individual things, individual branches, and those individual branches actually are more likely to get more drag on them and break off, or the tree's not as able to handle the dampening. So you weakened the tree by thinning it. My son.
I understand. I never wanted to break a unit.
I need you to go and be an evangelist. I need you to tell everyone you know about the dangers of thinning. Tell them the good news that your tree is just fine.
Okay.
Just fine.
Well, it fell over, remember?
Their trees, not yours. You destroyed your tree.
Okay, what do I do about the cat at the house?
Oh, another cat will come. It's like a vacancy. New cats, they'll find their way. Don't you worry about those cats.
It's like Menudo. They just get replaced by new people.
It's exactly right. Exactly right.
Thank you, Father.
Yes. Also, while you're at it, make sure to plant another tree.
Oh, okay.
Just for good measure.
Where the old tree was? But the stump is still there.
Yeah, that's all right. You'll be fine. Right next to it.
Oh, okay. Do I need to have the stump removed?
Yeah, you can do that, but you don't have to.
Okay.
Good luck.
I kind of just want to leave it there.
You must plant a tree.
Okay. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. God, stop it. Jesus, people. All right. Last one for the night. What can I do? Tell me your stem.
Hello, Father.
Hello.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
I understand. You stemmed?
Forgive me, Father, for I have stemmed.
I understand.
I've done a little bit of both.
Well, I've been around the block.
All right, so I have a I run a popular vegan restaurant in town.
Okay,
It being vegan has nothing to do with the stem,
but
it's well loved and people like the food. And somebody came in a few weeks ago, and they just seemed like they were in a bad mood. Our service was great, but they ended up yelling at one of my servers and not leaving a tip and kind of storming out, making a scene. And then they left a Yelp review. And it was 1 star. And I was there the whole time. I saw the whole thing. I know that they were in the wrong.
I understand.
So I hate to say this. I found him on Facebook. And he is the curator at the big arboretum in my city. And so in the middle of the night, a couple nights ago, I took a bunch of Tree of Heaven seeds from my backyard.
You fool.
And I went up to the arboretum and I gorilla planted about 18,000.
18,000
trees of heaven in this guy's arboretum.
You're a monster.
And then I left a bad review for the arboretum. This is my stem.
Okay. Thank you for sharing your stem.
This is my confession.
I'm taken aback. The first thing is, in order to repent, you need to remove your tree of heaven. The tree of heaven that is making the seeds.
Done.
That you found in your yard.
That's great.
All right. Excellent.
Hey.
The second thing is, you need to plant 18,000 Tree of Heavens elsewhere.
Okay.
You don't need to say anything, though, because you know what? They're going to be just fine.
Should I gorilla plant them like I did the other ones?
Yes. In every vacant planting space across the city.
What should I plant?
You should plant a tree appropriate for that location based on the city's rules and regulations and approved trees.
Can you give me a couple ideas?
Yes.
I don't know how to do that research.
I can help you. I can help you. Baker cypress.
Okay.
Little leaf linden.
Okay.
Silver leaf linden. And many others.
Many. Is that a species?
No, it's a. It's
oh,
a,
you're saying. Okay,
a
I'm
type
sorry.
Of. It's many, a. It's a. Yeah. Right, you got okay. it. I can't believe that you did this.
I don't think you're supposed to say that.
I honestly
thought
you were.
I came
here
to not be judged.
You are not being judged. You are being saved.
Okay.
All right. So, as your triest. The other thing that you're going to need to do is always let me eat for free at your restaurant.
I accept.
All right.
But drinks you pay for.
Half price.
Deal.
You're saved.
I don't deserve a kiss.
I've not been kissing anybody.
That was my confession, Casey.
Alex, just in case you didn't know, I had no idea what you were going to say on either of those.
No.
And honestly, I thought they were going to be a little more stemful sometimes. I was like, oh, I don't know what to say, Alex.
That's pretty lukewarm. That's fine. Casey, that was This is my confession. Uh-huh. It is time for our completely arbitrary AMA. If you want to ask a question on the podcast, support the podcast. Become a Tremium member at arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Go over to that AMA tab and ask away. Casey.
What do we got today, Monsieur Alex?
This week's question is from Rachel. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Or should I say Guten Tag?
Oh,
because
wait.
Because Rachel was recently in Germany.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And saw these weird spheres / balls of twigs and branches in some of the trees.
Interesting.
They weren't squirrels' nests because Rachel is familiar with those in Minnesota. And my Rachel's German friend said that they were called witch's broom.
Interesting.
What is up with these things, Casey? Thank you so much, Rachel.
I'm very curious about this. So, namely, a witch's broom is a growth in a tree that happens for a few different reasons. Mostly, it can all be boiled down to there are fewer nutrients in water getting out to a stem beyond a certain like choke point, so to speak. And so all of the growth is much tighter together and stunted. So normal, then all of a sudden at some point for no good reason, everything's very tightly packed together and it's all very much a small kind of dwarf variety of what you'd expect normally.
Okay, so they're going to grow, the leaves and stems are going to grow no matter what.
Yes.
But if the stem doesn't grow out fast enough...
Well, it's all of the above. So the leaves are smaller, the stems are smaller, tighter packed together. Everything is kind of, it's a dwarf variety. In fact, a lot of the different varieties and cultivars that we have that we call dwarf varieties of plants, they're all dwarfed because of this this same kind of process.
Okay.
So many times it is a mutation where... For whatever reason, this bud had a weird mutation in it. So everything that comes from that bud, all the new shoots, also have that weird mutation. They just have some strange thing.
On a bud-by-bud basis.
Yeah, sometimes they're a twig. Other times it's like an infection that gets in there. Oh. So like a fungus causes some issue. And then everything after that. Other times I've seen it happen where the top of a tree was girdled. Like it was in Seattle, actually, and it was a big cypress tree, or false cypress. And it turns out that someone had put... Tibetan prayer flags way up at the top and then forgot about them, or they, you know, decayed away over years, who knows, but they never actually took it down from the very tippy top of this tree. So as the rest of it grew up, it started to girdle and there was this normal tree with this teeny tiny, like very, very bunched up tree at the top.
Okay.
It was a very big question. Then one time it flew off, broke in a storm, and then some arborists figured it out.
Interesting.
Meanwhile, another issue, which I think is actually what's going on here, is mistletoe.
So
mistletoe can cause witch's broom at the end beyond the mistletoe down the normal twig because the mistletoe is taking the nutrients and the water and all those different, I guess it's taking all the sugars and everything as well. But everything beyond that, further down the twig, down the stem, is all stunted because the mistletoe is taking all the you know, essentially nutrients, water, and everything.
So it stunts the tree's growth.
Exactly.
Wow.
Now, the thing is,
that's not called witch's broom.
No, that is witch's broom.
So the mistletoe thing is called witch's broom?
Exactly. So mistletoe is the causal agent. What you see is witch's broom.
Gotcha.
Now, having said that, Alex... Mm-hmm. They are generally not perfectly spherical.
Okay.
But what is perfectly spherical and is evergreen and looks like some weird new growth coming out of a tree is actually the mistletoe itself, especially in oak trees.
Okay.
We also get a lot of mistletoe that does create this weird witch's broom out here in our conifers in the West. But if it's on a deciduous tree out in Germany, my guess is that you're actually looking at circular... The actual plant mistletoe in an oak tree.
Okay.
That's what I think.
And they're going to be green, these mistletoe, because they're evergreen.
Exactly, yeah, because they're evergreen. They some of them aren't even green, but mostly they're not out here. But those are ones that don't even have the ability to photosynthesize. They only take all their nutrients, sugars, and everything from the plant.
Wow.
So, but
speaking
often
of
you do
a close relationship with the tree.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, parasitic in this case, though.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Rachel, for your question. We hope we answered it.
What an interesting question.
And auf Wiedersehen, as they say, Casey.
Auf Wiedersehen, they do say that in Germany.
Yes. as I said, if you want to support this podcast, ask us questions, get audio, video, bonus content, get monthly cone stickers, get live streams. Basically, have your hand in our back pockets.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Join Completely Arbitrary Tremium. Become a Tremium member. ArbitraryPod.Supercast.com. Casey Clapp.
Alex Croson. What a day.
Wow. Should we tell people what happened?
No.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Bye.
See ya.
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp. Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals. If you want to support this podcast and become a Tremium member, head over to arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Thanks for listening.